Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 100 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on fairy tales when we come back. You know, when people call the law school and ask how they can learn more about the topics that I speak on over the air, keep in mind that most of these topics that you hear on the radio I teach in detail in one of my schools or classes here at the law school. For example, when you hear me talking about the common law, it was Alfred the Great who codified the common law back in 872 AD. And he put it into 49 principles or statutes, of which 22 of those principles or statutes from the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law have been incorporated into our Constitution and into our Bill of Rights. The common law was taken from the Mosaic Law. It was given to Moses at Mount Sinai. It was recorded in Exodus 19, verse 16 through Exodus 24, verse 8, and it includes negligence and insurance and taxes. You know, things like the income tax and property tax and Social Security taxes. Now, these IRS taxes are a counterfeit of the tithing laws of the Bible, and they work a theft on everyone that participates in them. Now, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob gave us a better way of life than income tax and Social Security, and that's the basis of our tax school and our status school. You know, we owe this income tax, and we owe the Social Security tax because we've contracted into it. Now, if you'd like to learn more about tax and status, why don't you write and ask for our free general law CD package? That's the place to start. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number to call is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. Just send us an email. Once more, that's georgegordon.org. Remember, just click onto the email machine. Send us that email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget. Hey, we've been talking about this thing of fairy tales, and I told you about the little girl here on the farm, and she has a little fairy house, down in the woods, and she goes down to her fairy house every day, and she takes cookies down to her fairy friends, and she has conversations with these fairies. And she talks to her fairies, and she plays with the fairies, and she comes back home, and then she at the dinner table, you know, she'll tell me about her fairies and her fairy tales and her fairy house and one thing and another. And, you know, the little girl's 8 years old, and I thought, well, this child at 8 years old is unable to separate this fantasy, this fairyland fantasy, from reality. And to her, these fairies are real. I guess they're real. She seems to think they're real. She talks about them as if they're real. And I got to thinking about that, and I said, you know, Americans, I can't speak for all you people in the world, but I can speak for Americans because I observe them day in and day out. They come to school here regularly. And students who come to school here typically are not like most Americans that I meet out on the street, you know, down at the feed store or the average farmer over here who believes that the government is working in his best interest over here with farm bills and farm plans, and that when he votes, his legislator goes back to Washington and he's working hard in this farmer's best interest. I meet these people. These are my neighbors. These are fairy tales. They're not true. They haven't been true for 75 or 80 years. They weren't true back in the Roosevelt years. They're not true today. Haven't been true over the past 8 years. But farmers in the local area actually believe that. And so I got to think, I said, my God, you know, we adults believe in fairy tales also. One of the big fairy tales that we here in America believe in is that communism is dead and that the West won the Cold War. The Cold War is over. Communism has been soundly defeated by the containment doctrine created by the Truman administration back in the late 1940s after World War II. And it was finally implemented by Ronald Reagan, and the last gasp of communism expired in the period 1989 to 91, and George Bush Sr., when he was President of the United States, presided over the world when communism finally fell and the Berlin Wall came down. Well, that's what we were told over the news media, and that's what we believe here in the United States. I can't speak for you people in Korea or Japan or Thailand or the Philippines, but here in America, that's what we believe, and fervently. Now, let me wake you up from your fairy tales here in America. Americans, listen to this. You know, essentially, our military and other resources are being used by the CFR globalists as the spearhead of this New World Order, not as global Pax Americana, as there is nothing American about it. But it's being used as an extension of the Soviet model of communist expansionism. And this is to lay the foundations by force for a one-world government under a socialist United Nations administration. And that is core of the Bush Doctrine, and it has been his father's agenda before him. It is the agenda of all globalists at the top levels, and Bush Sr. admitted it in the following statements. George W. Bush Sr. said, "We will give Gorbachev our assurance that America welcomes this reform not as an adversary seeking advantage, but as a people offering support. I will assure him that there is no greater advocate of perestroika, that's perestroika, than the President of the United States." That was George W. Bush said that. So he was an advocate of this concept of perestroika. Remember that? Now, here's what George Bush said on February 1st, 1992. He said, "It is the sacred principles enshrined in the United Nations Charter to which the American people will henceforth pledge their allegiance." Did you get that? They're not just principles enshrined in the United Nations Charter. They are the sacred principles enshrined in the United Nations Charter to which the American people will henceforth, from now on, beginning now, pledge their allegiance. So your allegiance, boys and girls in America, isn't to the United States of America. It is to the United Nations. And then Bush said, Bush's comrade Gorbachev admitted, now this is Gorbachev. Now this fellow Gorbachev, remember, was the guy that was in charge. He was the president. He was the guy that we were all told presided over the collapse of the Soviet Union. Well, he lives in San Francisco, California in the Presidio. What in the hell is Gorbachev doing in San Francisco, California? What's his role? What's he doing? Huh? Now, Bush's comrade Gorbachev admitted that communism would never go away if he could help it, and that perestroika was a mere cover for merging the United States and Russia under Leninist socialism. Now listen to Gorbachev, the guy who presided over this charade, this fairy tale of the collapse of Soviet communism. He said, "Gentlemen, comrades, do not be concerned about all you hear about glasnost and perestroika and democracy in the coming years. They are primarily for outward consumption. There will be no significant internal changes in the Soviet Union other than for cosmetic purposes. Our purpose is to disarm the Americans and let them fall asleep." That was Mikhail Gorbachev in a speech to the Soviet Politburo in November of 1987. the purpose for this perestroika, the purpose for Gorbachev being in San Francisco, the purpose for our foreign policy, is to let you Americans go to sleep and to believe in your fairy tales so that we can take you into national captivity. Now that's where America is headed. Now for the rest of you people in the world, when America goes into national captivity, so do you. You Australians only exist at the sufferance of the United States of America. And when America dies, you're going to die right along with us. You Canadians, when America dies, you're dead as well. And you Western Europeans, when America dies, you die with us. Don't forget that. When America catches cold, all the rest of you people are going to die from pneumonia. Now listen, the essence of perestroika, this is Mikhail Gorbachev again. He said the essence of perestroika lies in the fact that it unites socialism with democracy. And it revives the Leninist concept of socialist construction both in theory and in practice. That was Mikhail Gorbachev on perestroika in New York, HarperCollins, 1987. In October of 1917, Gorbachev said, this is October 1917, we parted with the old world, rejecting it once and for all. We are moving toward a new world, a world of communism, and we shall never turn off that road. Mikhail Gorbachev at the Kremlin in Moscow, November the 2nd, 1987. Now remember, this guy Gorbachev sits in the Presidio, being paid by the United States government, by you taxpayers out there. He sits there today, working in the Presidio of San Francisco for the New World Order, working right here in the United States of America with American planners. Now here's Gorbachev quoted in the New York Times in 1989. He said, I am a communist, a convinced communist. And for some, that may be a fantasy, but to me, it is my main goal. And now listen, you thought that Mikhail Gorbachev, as a reformed communist who has now received and accepted and embraces democracy. This Gorbachev said, hey, let's go down to the ferry house and let me explain to you how communism and democracy are going to be merged together for the New World Order. Communism and democracy, boys and girls, are kissing cousins. And I might point out to you that our founding fathers in 1787 did not give us a democracy. Not one, not a single person who participated in the Constitutional Convention of 1787 ever had a good word for democracy. They all loathed democracy. They said it was tripe. Trash. Garbage. They gave us a republic, a republican form of government, and our Constitution says that our government guarantees all of us a republican form of government, not a democracy. Democracy is the face of communism. Wake up, fantasy world. And then finally, those who hope that we will move away from the socialist path will be greatly disappointed. Every part of our program of perestroika is fully based on the principle of more socialism and more democracy. That was Mikhail Gorbachev on Perestroika, New Thinking for Our Country and the World, published in 1988. Democracy is a front for communism. Nothing more, nothing less. But now we've been told by our media that communism is dead, haven't we? Well, if communism died in the USSR, then there ought to be established criteria. There ought to be fingerprints by which to identify this political corpse. So what are these fingerprints? And where are they to be found? Let's turn to the Communist Manifesto's 10 planks. It is the political agenda, and see whether communism received a decent burial, Virginia, or simply adopted an alias called democracy to beguile the unsuspecting victims of a growing tyranny. Now, this Communist Manifesto was created by a fellow named Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels. Karl Marx published the 10 Planks to the Communist Manifesto first at the International Socialist Union in Paris, France in 1848. Now, was it gleefully announced then by an anti-communist media that the USSR has abolished its property tax, thus restoring absolute allodial ownership of land to the peasants? Boys and girls, do you know what the first plank to the Communist Manifesto calls for? Listen to this. It calls for the abolition of property and land and the application of all rents of land to public purposes. Well then, when communism died in 1989, 90, and 91 in Russia, in the Soviet Union, did they then repeal this first plank to the Communist Manifesto, which calls for the abolition of property and land and the application of all rents of land to public purposes? Did your newspaper announce and applaud the eradication of income taxes in the USSR? Huh? Are they still practicing the income tax in Russia? Are you still practicing the income tax in Australia? Are you still practicing the income tax in Western Europe, the United States, Canada, New Zealand? Huh? No, boys and girls, not only didn't they repeal the income tax and the property tax and restore or create allodial tenure and title in the Soviet Union, but they have implemented the income tax in all of our Western democracies. And they have now abolished the right of private ownership of property in all of our Western democracies. Allodial tenure and title on your land is a fiction. You pay a property tax on your land, boys and girls. You pay rent to your government to exist on what you call your property. Now, there was a time in America when we didn't have a property tax. There was a time in America when we didn't have an income tax. There was a time in America when we practiced the Ten Commandments here, and we practiced the Ten Commandment model in politics and economics and in property. But we don't anymore. Now, do we? We have adopted these first two planks to the Communist Manifesto, but the Communists have not adopted any of our Ten Commandments or any of our Ten Principles in our Bill of Rights. Not a one. You won't find the Bill of Rights in our Constitution being expounded in Russia today or China. But you will find the first and second planks to the Communist Manifesto being taught in our public schools and being taught, used, and exemplified in all of our public institutions here in America, Canada, Australia, Western Europe, and New Zealand. Well, let's take a look at number three. Have your glossy magazines told you how in Russia or China they have repealed the inheritance tax? Oh, they didn't? Well, son of a gun. Then those poor peasants still can't convey their hard-earned labors undiminished to their offspring, can they? Because the third plank to the Communist Manifesto calls for the abolition of all right of inheritance. Now, in the Bible, there is an inheritance law, and there's no inheritance tax. So here in America, and I suspect that you Canadians and Australians and Europeans have done the same thing, you have abolished the scriptural modality for inheritance and passing your inheritance on to your offspring. But you have adopted the third plank to the Communist Manifesto by adopting an inheritance tax. Now, did they abolish the inheritance tax in Russia or China? Oh, no? Well, they didn't. And there is no inheritance in Russia and China because the state owns all the land, just like they do in England under Queen Elizabeth. Now, boys and girls, we practice the third plank to the Communist Manifesto. And they do not practice the inheritance laws of the Bible. Now, you'd think that if we won the Cold War, that they then would adopt our principles of law and that we would not adopt their principles of law. It sounds like to me that in the contest, in the conflict called the Cold War between the United States and the free world and Russia and the communist world, that the communists won the Cold War hands down. And we practice all 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. And they don't practice one single principle of our Bill of Rights, not one single principle of the 10 Commandments. Not one. And now we don't practice a single principle of the 10 Commandments, and we don't practice our Bill of Rights in our country either. Doesn't sound like America won the Cold War to me. But let's take a look at number four. What about the Soviet directive stating that the IRS, I mean the KGB, would no longer levy people's wages or ransack the pillage and pillage their homes? You're kidding. It wasn't in your Sunday paper either. Well, listen. This fourth plank to the Communist Manifesto calls for the confiscation of the property of all immigrants fleeing from the system and rebels. That's the fourth plank. Have we abolished the IRS in the United States? Have we abolished the Federal Reserve in the United States? Have we abolished the restraint or the confiscation of our citizens' wealth by the IRS? No, not the last time I'd heard, and they didn't do it in the Soviet Union or Russia or China either. They're still practicing those four planks to the Communist Manifesto. And we Americans are practicing those four planks to the Communist Manifesto. And you Canadians and Australians and New Zealanders are doing the same thing. Aren't you? Number five. Well, surely then, we trust our reporters who spoke of the Soviet plan to recall their funny money and return the people's gold and silver and foreclose upon the banks. Did the Russians abolish their central bank? No, and we Americans have adopted the central bank principle, the fifth plank to the Communist Manifesto. We did it in 1913 with our Federal Reserve Bank. That's the fifth plank to the Communist Manifesto. Mikhail Gorbachev sits in the Presidio in San Francisco sucking up U.S. taxpayer dollars to further the goals of democracy and communism, to meld these two together. George Bush, your president, is out here enforcing communism, democracy upon Iraq and Afghanistan, and is promoting democracy in all of the Middle Eastern countries because we, remember, are the champions of freedom and democracy. And we are the winners of the Cold War, remember? You know, boys and girls, you talk about fairy tales. You know, this perestroika, the West won the Cold War, the battle between the ideological minds or the mindset of communism versus capitalism, is a fairy tale. It's a fairy tale which is akin to a little girl going down in the woods to bring cookies to the fairies. Now remember that centralization of credit in the hands of the state by means of a national bank with state capital and an exclusive monopoly is the fifth plank to the Communist Manifesto. Now, so far, in this ideological struggle between America and Russia, between the West and capitalism and the West and democracy and the East and communism and the East in totalitarianism, the five planks to the Communist Manifesto are in full force and effect in the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Rhodesia, and in all of the Western democracies of Western Europe. Five planks out of the ten. Full force and effect. Not a single one of the Ten Commandments, not a single one of our ten principles of the Bill of Rights are in any force and effect in China or Russia or Zimbabwe. Come on, boys and girls, don't you think it's time to wake up and smell a coffee? How about plank number 6? Was anything said in our press about the restoration of one's right to use his own car and the people's roads without begging for a license? Oh, no? Well, how about the unregulated right to communicate freely? No? And that's because the 6th plank to the Communist Manifesto calls for the centralization of the means of communication and transport in the hands of the state. Now, here in America, here in the West, you know, before we got off on this communist kick, a man could get on his horse and ride anywhere he wanted in America. A man could get in his buggy or his wagon, and he didn't have a license, registration, proof of insurance, or any permission from government to travel from the East to the West or from the North to the South. But today, boys and girls, we're regulated and controlled. We're licensed, bonded, insured, and we're guided every day by our highway patrols. And that goes on in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Western Europe, the United States, in Russia, in China, and in every country in the world. And that's because we've all adopted communism. Communism, boys and girls, is the undisputed master. Communism is the undisputed winner of the Cold War. The fairy tale is that it's the West that won the Cold War. That it's the West and democracy that prevailed over totalitarianism and communism in China and Russia. Would you like to go down in the woods and play with our fairies? Plank number 7. Now, has any of your newspapers or news agencies reported the dissolution of the state-created corporations in the USSR, those huge corporate farms, for instance, or that they no longer regulate the people's use of their own land? Oh, well, remember, it calls for the 7th plank now, calls for the extension of factories and instruments of production owned and controlled by the state. In America, we call those corporations. Got any corporations that have been abolished and done away with? Not that I know of. Not here in America. How about you people in Australia and New Zealand, huh? How about Canada or Western Europe? Number 8. Did they tell you about Russian women being admonished by the state to rebuild the crumbling family unit and to reestablish the home as the principal haven and bulwark of child development? Hey, this is getting to sound like a broken record, because the 8th plank calls for equal liability of all. Get mom out of the house so the big brother can steal her children to labor. Equal liability of all to labor. Now in America, 50% of our workforce is made up of women. Well, I put it this way. 50% of our women are now in the workforce. Half the females in America are no longer rearing, teaching, training their children in the Ten Commandments or in our Constitution or in our history. No, no. Mom is out in the workplace flipping burgers or working at Kentucky Fried Chicken to make enough money so that dad and mom working together can try their damnedest to approach the standard of living that dad provided back in 1955 all by himself. And they can't do it. Number 9 calls for the combination of agriculture with manufacturing industries. Well, perhaps they explained how they've halted the corporate takeover of the family farm. Oh, no? I remember I reported to you the other day that we have 1.9 million farms left in America. 1.9 million farms. They're all corporate farms now, or primarily for practical purposes. We've adopted the same Soviet-style principles of agriculture that they do in Russia and China, and that they've been practicing in Russia and China. The top-down, central planning from Washington, from Ottawa, from Canberra. We have the same system here now working in the West that they had working in Russia and China. And they haven't changed a thing in Russia and China, but we have changed. Over the years, we have adopted communism. That's reality. The fairy tale is that they have adopted democracy. democracy is simply a cover word for communism. And then finally, the 10th plank. Well, certainly they did at least expose a reactionary Soviet plan to restore parental authority and to instill responsibility to train up a child in the way that he should go. It's by closing all of the state brain laundries, that is, the public schools. Remember, the 10th plank calls for free education for all children in public schools. Well, now, boys and girls, if not one plank of the Communist Manifesto has been weakened, let alone destroyed, then by what stretch of our imaginations do we believe that communism is dead? And why the deception? It's very simple. Americans have adopted communism, and we adopted it long ago, all 10 planks. And we have embraced communism, and it is embraced by our political parties, our Republicans and Democrats, the liberals and the conservatives, around the world, wherever you live. For the media to divulge this now would expose their part in the conspiracy and their complicity for not warning us. While complacency, that is, gazing into the electronic campfire that we call television, we were surreptitiously lobotomized. We have been brain damaged. Now, rightly did our God say, "For as much as this people draw near to me with their mouth, and with their lips they do honor me. But they have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid." That's in Isaiah 29, verses 13 and 14. 65% of us here in America, and many of you people around the world in the Western democracies, go to church. Yes, it's true. You draw near to God with your mouth, and you honor God with your lips. But your hearts, your minds, are far from the Ten Commandments or the Bill of Rights. You've adopted communism, and you love it. Now, having forsaken the commandments of our Creator, we have heaped to ourselves the curses of Deuteronomy 28, verses 16 through 68. Our ways are the paths of death. We kill our unborn infants, and we poison the minds of those others who survive birth to endure a godless education and a heathen media. And their bodies are wasted by no-win wars, chemical foods, and fluoridated water, and we love it. Their heritage is given to strangers while having to bear the burden of supporting anything and everything alien to our once Christian culture. Hey, I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard in more than 112 countries daily, worldwide, over the Internet and radio. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through our website as well at georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements, these recommendations that we give out, they don't mean that the authors or publications that we endorse are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, they may be political, they could be religious or economic, they may be sectarian or racial, they may be ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this radio network or local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us here at the Law School Direct, 417-273-4900. 67. All right, we're talking about fairy tales. This article that I just read here, Communism is Dead, is put out by Kingdom Restoration Ministries, a fellow by the name of Bruce G. McCarthy. If you'd like to have his name and address here, it's Bruce G. McCarthy, HC62, Box 375. Smithville, Oklahoma, 74957. And it's called Kingdom Restoration Ministries, Bruce G. McCarthy, HC62 is the address, Box 375. Smithville, Oklahoma, 74957. I thought that was a pretty appropriate story. All right, now we're talking about fairy tales, and this concept of communism here has gripped America. Oftentimes I'll ask my students, you know, are you a practicing communist? Now, you know, that's like asking you, you know, are you a whore? I mean, you know, you ladies out there, if I walked up to you and said, are you a prostitute? Now, that would be pretty offensive, wouldn't it? So if I walk up to somebody and I say, well, are you a communist? Can you imagine somebody asking you that question? I think you'd probably say, well, absolutely not. I am not a communist. I'm a Republican. I'm a Democrat. I'm proud of it. Sometimes I get a letter here, you know, guy will say, well, I'm a Baptist and I'm proud of it, you know, or I'm a Republican, you know, or People get kind of emotional, you know, about their political and religious and economic ties and so on. And I suppose that's all right. I'm not criticizing it one way or the other, but I try to keep an even hand here, you know, without being too obvious and saying you Baptists, you know, are all nuts. So, without picking on anybody over here, let's take a look at these 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto as they're applied in everyday American, Canadian, Australian, New Zealand, South African, Rhodesian, I mean, you know, wherever we Israelites congregate, in England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, France, Germany, you know, the Benelux countries, you know, Belgium, Luxembourg, Sweden, Switzerland, Finland, Iceland. You know, we white Anglo-Saxons are scattered all over the world. And we have a common heritage. You know, you Danes over there may say, well, you know, you Americans are a bunch of kooks. But you know, a lot of you Danes live here in America. Did you know that? A lot of you Danish people and Swedish people and French and so on. Do you know that if you take a look at the populations of some of your countries, there are more Irishmen in America than there are in Ireland. Do you know that? I mean, there's more Scotsmen here in America than there is in Scotland. And I would suspect we've probably got more Englishmen over here in America than you have in England. I don't know that we have more Frenchmen here or more Germans here. Although here in America, we've got about 68 million Germans. Did you know that are people of German descent? I don't know what the population of Germany is. I think it's around 80 million, something like that. But, you know, we've almost got as many Germans here in America as you have in Germany. So, you know, there's a lot to be said about that. So we've got a lot of German heritage. Anglo-Saxons, Israelite people, have congregated in all of the Western democracies, we call them. Although you Australians aren't too far in the West, it seems like to me that you're kind of in the East. But there's not very many of us there in Canada and then Australia and New Zealand. But you're going to find that you got a lot of Germans and Scotsmen and Irishmen. There's quite a little cross-section of Israelites. You'll find in Australia that the Danes and the Irish and the Scots and the English and the French have all migrated to these countries. And we have this great cross-section here. Now, all of our people used to practice the Ten Commandments. We got the Ten Commandments. We got the legal system called the Ten Commandments from Moses at Mount Sinai. We used to practice that. And in each and every one of our countries, in each and every one of our cultures, when we practiced that, we prospered. Whether we were Danes or Scots or Irish, when we practiced this bottom-up system, the system of law, the system of economics, this system of agriculture, we prosper. And to the degree that the Russians, the Chinese, the Brazilians, or anybody else in the world practices these principles of the Ten Commandments, they too will prosper. It's just that simple. When we practice socialism, we lose money. When we practice the Ten Commandments, we make money. That's all. Now, the Chinese are prospering. They have adopted many of the principles of the bottom-up Ten Commandment system in Russia and China. Many of the principles. They haven't adopted the Ten Commandments. But some of those principles they have adopted. That we find that where property is held by people, they will use that property and they will expand upon it. I mentioned this the other day, that the Soviet Union, you know, when they couldn't feed their people, they gave all of their workers on these big state farms a half an acre. And on those half-acre plots, private property, you know, here's your little plot. You can't have 100 acres over here, Ivan, but we'll give you half an acre. Ivan and all of his compatriots over there produced 50% of all the food produced in Russia on those half-acre plots. I came up to a conclusion. I said, hell, if you want to double food production in Russia, give them a whole acre. Here in America, when we were practicing private property, before we got off onto practicing communism, we were the preeminent world economic power. Now look at us. We're the world's number one debtor nation. Adopting socialism and adopting communism hasn't benefited America. It has destroyed our economy, destroyed our nation, and we've now turned our nation over to strangers. Remember that? Strangers. We've given up our heritage and given it away. Now, in Rhodesia, in South Africa, where the tribe of Asher settled, you Asherites have been taken into national captivity. You white South Africans, you Israelites down there, are in national captivity. The stranger that's within your gate has risen up high above you and brought you down very low. All right, now, fellow Israelites around the world, take a look at what happened to the tribe of Asher sitting in South Africa, the white Anglo-Saxons in South Africa, a first world industrial nation, has now been taken into national captivity by the strangers that are within their gates. And we found that in Deuteronomy chapter 28. In Deuteronomy 28, let's see if I can find the verse here for you. It's in verse 42. All the trees of, and the fruit of your hand or your land shall the locust consume. And in verse 43, the stranger that is within you shall get up above you very high, and you shall come down very low. And he shall lend to thee, and you shall not lend to him. And he shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. Now, fellow Israelites in Ireland and Scotland and Wales and England, you Israelites down there in Australia and New Zealand, especially in Australia and New Zealand. Look at a map and then look north. Look to the top of the page. Can you see that China up there? Well, China is a country of about 3 million square miles, and you Australians are occupying a piece of real estate that's about 3 million square miles. Yeah, round numbers. And then up there to the north, that 3 million square miles is occupied by 1.3 billion, that's 1,300 million, Chinese. And down there in Australia, Australia is occupied by about 20 million of you Australians. And that national captivity, that stranger, is going to come down there to Australia and take that country away from you and put you into national captivity. Both of you. New Zealand and Australia. Pay attention now. And over here in the Western world, here in Canada and the United States, there is a plan afoot here called Global 2000 to depopulate the United States and Canada. They want to kill 90% of us. And those strangers over there in Russia and China are going to occupy this piece of real estate. We're going into national captivity just like our brothers in South Africa and Rhodesia. Now look what happened to South Africa and Rhodesia now that the blacks have taken over. Rhodesia in 1980 was a first world industrialized nation. It was colonized by the British, and you got to hand it to you, all you black people down there, you got to hand it to those Englishmen. You know, credit where credit's due. Wherever the English go, they have a knack. All of us Israelites have certain knacks, but these Englishmen, they've just got a knack for organization and administration. They did it in India. They did it in Pakistan. They've done it. They created an empire worldwide. Now, the English are arrogant SOBs. I mean, they are arrogant. Hell, we got a belly full of them in 1776. But, you know, we got to give a little credit where credit's due. There isn't anybody in the world that can organize like the English can. And they built a world-ruling empire. We Americans have copied some aspects of that. We've now built Pax Americana. We've built this world-ruling empire. The American Empire, a little differently than the British model. We learned from you Englishmen. And instead of holding a gun at everybody's head and beating the hell out of them, what we'll do is we'll just conquer, take over them, and use policy. Use policy. That's why we've got our military bases now all over the world. But it's coming to an end, boys and girls, and it's coming to an end because we've adopted the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. Communism, in the final analysis, is an economic system that is always bound to implode, to destroy itself. That's because it's a Ponzi scheme. It doesn't have within it the means to sustain itself permanently. It never has in the past. It doesn't now. And it's not likely to in the future. But we Americans, all of us Westerners now, we are just absolutely god-awful bound and determined to prove that we can make communism work where it failed in Russia and China. By God, we're going to make it work in Australia. We're going to make it work in Western Europe. Well, okay, get after it, children. But our Creator said it didn't work then, doesn't work now. And if you want a system that does work, the system that we used that created the British Empire for you Englishmen over there was the Ten Commandments and gold and silver coin. Can you Englishmen remember when you had gold coin? I've got a bunch of your gold coins over here in America. Your British sovereigns, those quarter ounce coins. Clipped, of course. They're short about 6% of the gold content in them, but you know. Other than a little theft, you know, we still have a little bit of gold left. Yeah, when the English had gold and silver coin, they were the preeminent power in the world. When we Americans had gold and silver coin, by God, we were the preeminent powers in the world. Then we adopted this second plank and the fifth plank to the Communist Manifesto, combined it with the eighth plank so we could have social insurance. And this communist Hillary Clinton and this communist Barack Obama want to give you national health care insurance, which has been a total failure in England and Canada. Now, if you want to stand in line and share the shortage, you need the English and Canadian models. By God, those people in Canada, they come down here to the United States when they got a medical problem to get treated. They got to stand in line up there. Now, we want to adopt your Canadian system down here. Well, okay. Americans, stand in line and share the shortage. It didn't work for them, and it's not likely that it's going to work any better for you. But I asked the question, I said, are you a practicing communist? Let me ask you this. Let's start off and start thinking for a minute. Did you go to public school? I did. I went to public school. I was institutionalized for 12 years. And then I turned around and sent my children to public school. I was a practicing communist until I was 37. From the time I was born until I was 37 years old. Now, this old guy, George Gordon, was a practicing communist. Now, that's the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto. Free education for all children in public school. And if you think public school is free, we here in America are paying, on average, $10,000 per year per student to educate these children in the public school system. I don't call that free. It's the most expensive educational system in the world and turns out some of the dumbest students that God ever put breath into. 3 million of them every year can't even read their own diplomas. That's how bad it is here in America. Can't even read it. Now that second plank to the Communist Manifesto calls for a heavy progressive or graduated income tax. Do you have an income tax in England? Do you have an income tax in Florida, New York, North Dakota, Texas, Tennessee? Got one there? Well, we sure got an income tax here in the United States. And that's the second plank to the Communist Manifesto. And the fifth plank, the central bank program, the centralization of credit in the hands of the state by means of a national bank with state capital and an exclusive monopoly. Listen, they've got that second plank, fifth plank, and tenth plank in Russia. They got that second plank, fifth plank, and tenth plank in Brazil, South Korea, Japan. Name a country that doesn't have an income tax, a central bank, and a public school system. Name one. Then send me an email. I'd like to advertise that. There might be some country in the world that doesn't have one of those three, or maybe all three, but not that I know of. And I'm an old man, and I've been around for a long time. I wouldn't say there couldn't be one, but there isn't one in England or Western Europe. There isn't one here in North America or in Australia. Now listen to this. The sixth plank calls for the centralization of the means of communication and transport in the hands of the state. This comes from the Federal Communications Commission regulations and Executive Order 10995, and it provides for the takeover of the communications medium. The Department of Transportation regulations and Executive Order 10999 provides for the takeover of all modes of transportation, as published in our Federal Register. Hey, listen, do you have license plates on your cars down there in Australia? Got license plates on your cars in Russia? Got license plates on your cars in China? Come on, kids. Transportation is controlled and held in the hands of the state. Communications. Do you have any free communications in Australia? Canada? England? Hell no. It's the government that controls that and licenses radio stations. That's why every broadcast I have to give you certain information to comply with all of these rules and regulations of these state-owned media. All right, now the confiscation of the property of immigrants and rebels, that's your IRS. The abolition of all right of inheritance, the inheritance tax. The abolition of property and land and the application of all rent of land to public purposes. Hell, we don't have any allodial tenure or title. We used to. We Americans used to own our land and didn't pay property tax on it. There was a time in Australia, New Zealand, Canada. You know, Israelites don't practice inheritance tax. That isn't what we got from Moses. That's what our preachers give us. But then our preachers don't teach the Ten Commandments in church. The last place in the world, boys and girls, where you're going to learn the Ten Commandments is going to be in church or a whorehouse. But then, you know,
I wouldn't expect the Ten Commandments to be in a whorehouse. And if you think about it, why would a Christian church teach the Ten Commandments? These pulpit parrots are all communists. Taught and trained to be communists. It's their bread and butter. Religion and the state have been married together. That's why they have 501c3 tax exemption. These are state churches. And the state is the exact and diametric opposite to the government of God. It's a competition. It's like government and the mafia. I mean, come on, kids. The mafia is a competitor to government. The mafia used to run a numbers racket. That's what they called it, the numbers racket. Well, it made a lot of money. And so the state of New York looked at it and said, well, God, we got to take that numbers racket away from private enterprise and the mafia, and we've got to adopt it and socialize it and put it in as a part and parcel of our state government. And they did. Now, the numbers racket that we were all taught and told was such a wicked, evil, terrible practice that impoverished widows and orphans and took away the bread out of little babies' mouths is now conducted by the state to finance the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto, our public school system, so that we can indoctrinate people to the benefits of the state. Not God, but the state. The state is our God. And we pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, our God. When was the last time you were pledged allegiance to the God of Abraham? Come on, wake up. Now, the seventh plank calls for the extension of factories and instruments of production owned by the state and the bringing into cultivation of wastelands and the improvement of the soil generally in accordance with a common plan. Here in America, we call these factories and instruments of production owned by the state corporations. The bringing into cultivation of wastelands is called the Desert Land Entry Act, and the improvement of the soil generally in accordance with a common plan are called soil conservation districts. An equal liability of all to labor and the establishment of industrial armies, especially for agriculture, is called Social Security. Hell, we got the eighth plank in all of these Israelite countries. We've got corporations and the state ownership of the means of production in all of these countries. The ninth plank calls for the combination of agriculture with manufacturing industries and the gradual abolition of the distinction between town and country by a more equitable distribution of population over the country. We call those state farms. They're called corporate agribusiness here in this country. They're called communal farms over in the Soviet Union. Now, boys and girls, we're all practicing communists, whether we like it or not. It's just that most of us are not only practicing communists, we love it. Yeah, I'm out of time again. I got to remind you that you have been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 112 countries daily over the internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has a radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through our webpage at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, our time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.